are thankful for the wonderful love of God, how grand and glorious it is that He would care for us. And so we are just overwhelmed by that thought and how that is should be such a central theme of the heart of the people of God. That, you know, we are just in love with Him, that He is our God, that we serve Him and joy in Him and revel in Him and worship Him and spend time with Him. We want to be with Him and with His people and working in the direction that He is leading. And, you know, that is such a struggle. It is the work of the church to stimulate, to move, to cajole, to encourage, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. And that's our responsibility, to labor, to encourage one another and help one another. And it is a great battle that we face. It is a difficulty. It is a hardship. And many struggle with that, and some are losing the battle, I think, and some are being victorious. And so we must encourage one another, pray for one another, help one another, aid one another, because it is so easy for us to become attached to the things, as the song of the anchor holds. You know, we sometimes throw our anchor into something else rather than into the anchor of Christ. We're not attached to Him. We're not held to Him. We're not overwhelmed by Him. We begin to say, these things are but commonplace. These are but things that are mundane. I understand these things. I know these things. I've heard these things. This is just over and over again. And I want something different. Something exciting. Something I can enjoy. And we begin to throw the old anchor into some other activity, some other thing, and we begin to drift away. And you see that in churches and in our own church. And we have to pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another, because we are being tempted to throw after, as the Old Testament put it, idolatry, to follow after those things which are taking the place of God. And it is a concern and a burden, and so we have to work not to be held into these things, to allow Satan to get us to get ourselves involved in such and such, and such itself may not be a sinful thing. It's not that we're saying, oh, you're involved in some horrific, terrible, vile, It may be something very pleasant, something very innocuous. Yet we begin to be attached to that, and the attachment to Christ wanes. And so it is a burden. Well, the wonder, though, is Christ is coming again. And when He does, we shall see Him and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that is the blessing. And we are looking at the millennium. We are looking at that time after the tribulation, after the great trouble and all the problems and all the judgments and all the difficulties, when the Lord Jesus shall come, when His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, when the enemies of God shall be destroyed, when Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years, and when the people of God shall inherit the earth. When literally the meek shall inherit the earth. When God's people shall be in charge. And what will it be like in those days? What characteristics will be found throughout this world? We looked at peace. We looked at joy last week. There's a couple more. We've looked at the characteristics of the King Himself. He was a King of all kinds of things, of truth, of righteousness, of holiness. Well, one of those characteristics which will be found throughout the world will be the characteristic of holiness. Now, because the King is holy, and we looked at so many of those passages, I'll not look at those. I'll simply just remind us of what we read there this morning, how that there's coming a day when our agreement with death will be gone. You know, we all have an agreement with death. We may not know it. You may not understand it. And many folks in the world don't believe it, but we all have an agreement with death. We've entered into that agreement and that covenant through our representative, Adam, when he and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that death passed upon all men, and that sin passed upon us. And so we are in that position of being under that agreement. But as the people of God, we get delivered from that. We will enter into that millennial reign, and we, like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be a holy people. Holiness will be a category, a characteristic of that land and in that day. Now, another one is the matter of glory. And I want to look at this one here in a little more detail. It will be a glorious time. A time of glory. Now, I got thinking about glory, and I said, well, what does the dictionary define that as? And so here's the definition. It is great honor, praise, or distinction accorded by common consent. Praiseworthy. So this is a time in which it will be praiseworthy. When everybody will agree, everything is wonderful. And it really will be wonderful. It won't be a fake wonderful, you know, as sometimes our politicians would have us believe, you know. Things are better, you know, we're all doing wonderful, you know, jobs are abounding, you know, everybody's happy now. You know, and as our politicians are telling us, and I understand they have that responsibility to stimulate happiness, you know, to encourage, you know, people to feel good. And, you know, because a lot of the economy is just, do you feel good or do you feel bad? And so they're trying to encourage those things. But the truth is, we all know it's not so good. There's problems. And so, you know, but in that day, it will be good. So let's look at some passages. In the book of Isaiah, and I'll confine myself to the book of Isaiah, just to make it easy to find. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 4, in verse number 2, Isaiah chapter 4, and verse number 2, it says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. So it talks about the branch of the Lord, and this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be glorious, and the whole of the nation of Israel, it will be a glorious nation. All right? It will be worthy of praise, worthy of honor. Over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 24, and verse 23. In chapter 24 and verse 23, it says, and the land shall be utterly... Oh, wait a minute. I read the wrong one. 24:23. Let me read verse 23, not 3. The moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. Now, you might say to yourself, why would the moon be ashamed and the sun ashamed? All right, it's a picture. The glory of that day, the shiningness, the brightness, and the Hebrew word for glory has that idea of brightness and glory, shining, will be such that the sun will be like nothing. Now, when it's really, really dark, you know, and the power goes off, and, you know, you're in the middle of the night, and it's, you know, it's the new moon time, you know, no moon, new moon. So there's no moon, and it's dark outside, and the clouds are over, and, you know, and you got your one little candle. I mean, it's really bright, isn't it? It seems to really do a lot. I mean, I can see a lot better now. Okay? Because why? You have the one little candle. But what happens when you step outside into the bright sunlight with the candle? It's worthless, right? Doesn't do anything. The glory of the sun eclipses the glory of the light. So shall it be in that day. The glory of Christ shall so shine forth upon this world that the sun and the moon will be as nothing. What a picture. What a glory will be in that day. So Isaiah 35 and verse 2. 35 and 2. All right, now here speaking of the earth itself, in Isaiah 35, verse 2, It says, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. In other words, even the wilderness, the deserts of Arabia, the Sahara Desert, the whole path of nothingness and sand and dirt, it is going to be like the beautiful hillsides and green lush mountains of Lebanon. All right, so it's going to be a glorious time. The world itself will be changed into a glorious time when the Lord Jesus sits upon that throne. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 5. Chapter 40 and verse number 5. It says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now here it says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." You might remember when God was speaking with Moses, and Moses was up on the mount for those days there, receiving the law, that Moses prayed and asked God to see His glory. And God said, "No, you can't see my glory because you would die." He says, "But I will put you here in the shadow of the rock, and my hand shall cover over you, and I will pass by, and you will see the hinder part." Now, this is all speech that is designed for us to understand. Okay, it is not descriptive of the true nature of God. God is not localized. He doesn't have a back. He doesn't have a part that is unseen. He doesn't have hands and all these things. These are things that are, you know, they're called anthropomorphisms is the linguistic term. But anyway, these are terms that are used to help us to understand what God is like. And so Moses, as holy as he was, as righteous as he was, as close as he was to God, could not see God in his flesh. He could only see God as, you know, God had him covered up, hidden in a rock, and then just kind of the back. Now here it says what? "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it." I mean, can you imagine what that is? It is beyond comprehension. The glory of the Lord shall be seen. That's what the millennium is going to be like. In chapter 60, there's a little bit longer portion there. In chapter 60, verses 1 to 9, there is a portion here in which he speaks of the glory that shall come in this age. Chapter 60 and verses 1 to 9, he says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of the camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephraim. All they of Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." So the millennium is going to be a time of glory. Now, all these descriptions of, you know, the day are descriptions of saying, you know, the abundance, the wonders, the riches, the wealth, the all the blessings, everything good in their society. That was what was promised to come. So when he says these things, what God is telling us about this day is that Christ himself will be there. His glory will shine forth and will eclipse, yea, even that glory of the sun in its shining and brightness. That glory will extend to the very creation of this world. It will be made to be glorious. It will be a changed creation. And his people will be a people who themselves are glorious, who know the wondrous blessings of God. Won't that be a wonderful time? I mean, won't that be great? When God's people just know blessing? You know? I mean, today we struggle and you have bills and you have worries and you have concerns and, you know, you're worried about the heat bill and the light bill and all these bills and, you know, and there's the, you know, the concern about this thing. And we have all the, none of those problems. The world is going to be different. What a glory awaits the people of God. Glory describes that age. And so that's a characteristic: holiness, glory, peace, and joy. Now that was all the stuff I was supposed to finish last week. And so now I can launch into the stuff I'm supposed to finish this week, which I'll probably be behind on again. But anyway, that's okay. Another thing that is comfort. Now, comfort is a nice thing. Most of us would rather be comfortable than uncomfortable. You know, you go into a room, you look around at the chairs, and you say to yourself, let me get that one over there with nails sticking out of it and spikes, and let me sit on that one. No, you say to yourself, I want that comfortable chair, right? Now, you might, you know, consider the other people in the room, but if there's nobody else there and you got your choice, you're going for the comfortable chair, aren't you? Right, right. I mean, that's just the nature of people. We like comfort. We like things to be comforted. We like Christ, joy and settledness and peace. And well, in the millennium, Christ is going to personally minister comfort to every need so that we will know the very fullness of comfort. In Isaiah, and again, I'll confine these to the book of Isaiah. There are passages in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and in Zechariah and Zephaniah and all over the Old Testament, the Psalms, that deal with these blessings that are promised. Okay, so this is not just only in the book of Isaiah, but it's just that there's a lot in Isaiah and it makes it easier for you to stay in the same book and find where we're at than trying to flip from place to place. So that's why I'm confining myself there. But in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says this regarding this matter of comfort. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. So here you see that there is a time when people will just draw from God with joy and blessing out of the wells of salvation. This is a comfort to the people of God. There is a salvation. Go on to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29 and verse 22 and 23. Isaiah 29, verses 22 and 23. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of his hands in the midst of them, he shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. So here we see God's people, when they see the blessings of God, they see their families, they see a restoration brought, there is comfort in their heart as they see these things. In Isaiah chapter 30, in verse number 26, it says, Moreover, The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in that day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. There's coming a day when God is going to bind up the wounds and the breaches of his people. Now, you know, as you get older, you tend to get more breaches. Not pants, but, you know, tears and rips and, you know, they have, you know, fancy medical terms. They call them hernias, you know, breaches inside, and you got breaches outside, and you got all kinds of wounds, and you got all kinds of struggles and tears and pains and joints and knees that don't work and shoulders that won't move. And you know, it's kind of comic. You know, you get six or seven of us together and you got one good body between us, and you know, you can do the right, I'll do the left, and you know, this is just kind of the situation that you end up in as you get older. You know, it's just kind of life. Well, there's coming a day when we're going to be comforted, when those breaches are going to be healed, when those wounds are going to be repaired. We won't need the old glasses, you know, on and off, on and off, on and off. And, you know, they won't be dirty and you can't see and, you know, all those things. When you'll be able to bend down, you know, again, and the knee will work and the hip will go where you're supposed to go. And, you know, all the things will be healed. There's coming a day when there's going to be comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. He says, comfort ye my people, saith God. Speak ye comfortly to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Yes, there's coming a day when God is going to speak comfortably to his people. When he is going to tell us that our sins are gone, that the war is gone. We you know, the apostle speaks of this in Ephesians 6 when he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay? So it is a picture of a battle. He uses the terminology of the day, of a helmet and a breastplate and a shield and a sword and, you know, feet and all these differing elements of the soldier's battle armor of that day. We are in a spiritual battle. The apostle speaks of it. He says, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? As he cries out there in Romans 7, verse 29 or so. He knows the struggle of these things. We struggle today. There's coming a day when the people of God will hear God speaking to us comfortably. And this warfare is gone. There won't be any more warfare in that day. We won't be battling with sin. We won't be struggling with difficulty. We will be comforted. The heart, the longing of our soul will be comforted. What a blessing when the Lord returns. In Isaiah 49, verse 13. Isaiah 49 and verse number 13. Here he says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. And so here we see that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to speak comfortably, and yea, even the creation itself is going to be changed. God's comforted his people, and as a result, there will be a comfort that flows out to the whole world. The very earth itself will be changed. Now, I realize some of these things keep lapping over each other and they keep kind of saying the same thing from a different perspective. But you know, that's not always bad to see the blessing that is coming. because it gives us encouragement. It gives us strength. It helps us to continue on and not to be discouraged in the midst of the battle that we face. Isaiah 51 and verse number 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in there. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. There the creation is comforted. Over in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse 3. Down through verse 7. Isaiah 61. He says, to appoint them that mourn in Zion and give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call unto you the ministers of God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory ye shall boast yourself. For your shame ye shall have double, and your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. And so here God gives us such beautiful promises, such comfort. He says He will give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you know the spirit of heaviness? Do you feel that all is but ashes? Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? This is going to be replaced. Hallelujah. And then lastly, and I'll stop here, Isaiah 66 in verse 13 and 14. Isaiah 66, verse 13 and 14. He says, as one in whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward the enemies. What a beautiful description. You know, when a little child has a problem, you know, the little toddler has the problem, Dad can be standing right there. And right by Dad he runs. He's going to Mom. Because Mom is the source of comfort. And Mom will grab him and hug him and, you know, comfort him. And all of the problems are settled. And all of the troubles are gone. And off he goes, happy and content. Because Mom has dealt with the problem. The Lord says, one day, I will comfort you just like Mom. All will be well. Now, you know, when you're three and Mom comforts you, everything's done. One day that will be the case. All will be done. This is the place we are going to. That ought to encourage us to keep going. Don't get discouraged. Keep going for the Lord, because this is the place. It ought to move us to reach others. Because why? They're not all going. Don't you want them to go? We need to be busy, don't we? We, the people of God, have no reason not to have the joy of the Lord in our soul. You say, but you don't know the trouble. Yes, and I do. I do. You know, we all can trade stories on the ashes in which we sit. You know, we all know. But God is going to comfort. Hallelujah. Heaven is awaiting. The millennium is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Are we ready? Let's bow for prayer. Father,